The opinions expressed in Outwit, Outplay, Outyap are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listeners. My name is Malik Fortier.
And I'm Andrew Hill.
And this is the fifth real and final episode of Outwit,
Outplay,
Outyap.
We unfortunately made it to our final episode, and coincidentally, next episode is going to be the merge, so it's the perfect time for us to give our thoughts to you guys of the pre-merge, how we think each player has done thus far, and how likely we think they are to win the game.
Kind of like our first episode.
We're going to have to get started. We just watched the new Vula tribe gets back to camp.
Joe and Shaheen are quaking. They're like...
They're gobsmacked.
We know we've got Gaut. And so they're just trying to, you know, backpedal and say to Kyle and Camilla, like, you know, it was all a game and, you know, we still respect you. But they're definitely grieving the loss of their California friend, their California girl, Thomas.
And so we see Shaheen and Joe kind of talk to Camilla and Kyle individually.
They even said themselves, like, we just want to win at this point. Like, they were dead set on, you know, protecting their numbers and making it all to the merge because they're all such passionate players. So now we move on to a reward challenge, a fun reward challenge. It is our first appearance of the Sanctuary, good things happen.
The good things always happen at the Sanctuary. We've been missing more reward challenges. We get a few, but most of them are just in the immunity challenges.
Kind of linked together.
But yeah.
This one was fun. It was, you know, it was a ball tossed to a rotating target. We saw that in Edge of Extinction.
Oh, with Wardog.
With Wardog, who could not for the life of him throw and hit the target.
And he was like pumping up himself and he just couldn't hit a single thing. We didn't see that this time. They were really accurate, surprisingly.
They were throwing, what's it called?
They were hitting dingers.
They all had really good arms. I think we have a new baseball league of Survivor come in the works. After the throwing, there was a trampoline toss with the ball.
They got to the third section,
which was like a rolling ball. We saw this last season, season 47, yes. I think. You know, David does well. Eva does well.
They've been really clutch in these challenges for getting from last to first, like almost instantly. And they got the big reward of going to the Sanctuary, where good things happen, for a lunch of, what was it?
It was like croissants and pastries.
And all I can remember is David and his milk.
The second placers in the challenge was Nuvula. They finally won their first challenge as a tribe. And they won at-home pastries, which is still good, still sustenance. Say, sitting out of the challenge, she was doing her usual Say thing, motivating, let's say, her teammates on the sideline.
Her unconventional motivation.
Come on, come! She sat out of the challenge, citing that she was tired from competing in every challenge, which is true for her and Cedric and Mary, because, you know, they couldn't sit anyone out because they were the disaster tribe.
I don't think Vula ever won a single challenge. Exactly. Like, they didn't even win, like, any rewards at the beginning.
So they were very, like, starved and, like...
They weren't doing well. So I think, especially because they don't have fire either, like, it does make sense for Say to complain. But at the same time, like... Mary, in the moment, was just very excited because that was her first reward. Like, she hadn't had anything up to that point.
As a part of the winning Loggy team, Mary was just kind of highlighting how, you know, just like Say, she hadn't had a lot up until this point, and so this reward was really big for her. But that kind of rubbed Say the wrong way. We see some of the members of New Siva not taking kindly to Say's post-challenge antics, I guess, specifically Chrissy and Mitch. We go back to Siva Beach, and the two of them are plotting. They are plotting to get Say out. We know that Bianca doesn't have a vote, and so really at her, she's at the mercy of everybody else on her tribe. So what she tries to do, she kind of tries to play the middle a bit in this episode, and we see the ramifications for that later on. Pivoting to the new Vula tribe, we see them celebrating their reward, and they have this really wholesome bonding experience where they each talk about the struggles that their parents before them had and how that kind of relates to them on this island and how that motivates them.
Maybe like they were on opposite sides, but it was like it was out of necessity. They never wanted, like, they were just out of sheer luck at the beginning of where they were placed on their tribes. They could have been allies in a different world. So, like, maybe we could see that in the future.
You know, what's stopping them from aligning now? The swap has opened many doors.
Many doors.
And, you know, sanctuary people, they were having their fun. You know, it was a good moment for the whole tribe, you know, to just, you know, eat, fuel themselves for the next challenge. And speaking of the next challenge, it's our immunity challenge for the episode. We start off with a boat pulling challenge.
And we saw the three tribes were kind of like pretty close. The Siva tribe was a little bit behind just because like they were stumbling with Say kind of like falling at one point. And when we get to digging under the log, we also see Kyle gets stuck under the beam.
I think he tweeted about being too thick. He's got a big backside to him. And, you know, that's an asset in many places in life. An asset in many places of life, but not when you're trying to do sand limbo.
I think I would be in a similar boat to Mary, where, like, I'm tall, but I'm very, like, lean, so I could probably slither under it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, once they got to the table puzzle, they were pretty much all equal. You know, the puzzles at these challenges are the grand equalizer. It was a more skill-based kind of... It was a table maze, not as much a puzzle. Each member of the tribe that's competing in the challenge has to sink one ball in the hole at the end of the maze.
Right. I think it works on these smaller tribes, because if you had, like, eight people, that would take forever. Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of switching between. Eva goes in and out pretty regularly because she's kind of struggling a little bit.
And getting a little frustrated.
Right. And the new Vula tribe starts to pull ahead by the end, where we see Camilla at the end race through it, like, so fast.
She tried it once at the beginning, was like, okay, I'm learning from my mistakes, taps out. And then when she taps back in, she's like, oh, I understand it now. She understood the assignment and rushes through it.
Vula, first place, gets their immunity win. Joe is a little distracted as we can see him, you know, looking over to Eva on the Loggy tribe.
And Eva, who's back on the bubble, I guess, and needs to sink this to win. It's the kind of buzzer beater clutch moment that she needs.
Eva was really getting like overwhelmed, overworked, and like was starting to kind of melt down a bit. And it was like really taking a toll on her, where you could tell she really wanted this. Eventually, after the encouragement of her tribe and like her being able to calm herself down just a little bit, was able to sink that final ball in.
And it all came crashing down. It was very, like, cathartic.
Right. She, like, crashed to the ground. Like, everyone was, like, crowding around her, like, comforting her and, like, squeeze her and, like, keep her secure.
And keep her grounded.
Right. Because we know Joe and Eva have that really close bond. We can see the two of them, like, they're really close together. And Eva really needed Joe in that moment.
We even see this impact Jeff severely. Like, he even starts to cry. This might be the first time we've ever seen him cry on the show. But after he wipes away his tears, he makes a comment that I think is on a lot of people's minds, especially mine. He says to Joe and Eva that, you know, doesn't this put a target on your back? Will people see this relationship that is so strong and emotional? Joe was like, oh, whatever it takes, like, I'll stick by Eva. I just think to myself, like, if I'm somebody else on that beach and I hit the merge with them, I've got to take one of them out, because that is a duo that is inseparable. Even though it was such a nice moment, that would be what was in the back of my mind.
Right. I would more so be focusing on, like, especially because I would feel bad, like, if Joe went, then Eva wouldn't have someone as close to, like, help her if she needed it.
Yeah. And,
like, so we now make our way back to the Siva tribe, where they have to figure out who to vote out. Cedric and Say have to go back to tribal council.
Again.
The initial plan seems to be very focused on Chrissy and Mitch want Say out of this game, especially Chrissy. We have Cedric, who is kind of like really on the fence about it. Like, he still thinks Say is fully with them, and he doesn't want to vote Say out just yet. So he wants to work with Say and Say and Bianca to vote out Chrissy.
And, you know, just like Mitch and Chrissy want to work with, you know, Cedric and also maybe Bianca to get out, say, neither of these two groups or contingents or voting blocks, whatever you may say, have realized yet that Bianca doesn't have her vote.
And Bianca is fully playing into this. Like, she's really working these bonds to, like, you know, she'll try and get Cedric to vote Say out so that it's a smooth sailing vote. But if it ties, like, she's not going to go home.
And, you know, her best case scenario would not be the tie, would be the all in on Say, because then at a certain point, it doesn't reveal all the votes when Jeff pulls the votes out, and then nobody has to know she didn't have a vote.
Right. But unfortunately, right before Tribal, she tells Cedric that she does not have a vote. And this throws a wrench in everything she worked for, because Cedric immediately, we don't see this on camera, but he tells Mitch, or he doesn't tell Mitch, but he tells Chrissy. And
he could have told Mitch. We don't know.
We don't know how much time they had left, though, so he might not have had time to do it. Him and Chrissy go up to vote out Bianca for betraying their trust. And, you know, Cedric gets to keep an ally that he has. He gets to say that he saved Say.
Even though he was almost part of the plan to send Say home.
But it definitely would help to,
smooth things over with her,
right, exactly,
after Tribal.
And it becomes a 2-1-1 vote. One of the votes is Say, one of the votes is Chrissy. And Cedric and Chrissy vote out Bianca.
And
I did think she was going to go pre-merge just based on how much we saw her.
Yeah.
You could absolutely see the path to where Bianca would go home, but I was not expecting it.
I think really it was an unforced error that Bianca made by telling Cedric that she lost her vote. You know, people joke about, oh, Justin didn't tell him and that broke his trust. Bianca did tell him. I mean, she told him 5 minutes before Tribal. That's basically
right.
The same as not telling him at all.
It was a big blunder on her part. I think she would have been fine otherwise, aside from just a really unlucky rock draw. Cedric is apparently the Grim Reaper, votes everyone in the game. He's voted, I think, over a third of the cast.
The only person that Cedric has played with as like a tribe member that he's not contemplated voting or voted for is Mitch.
And I think he's probably not going to go anytime soon, so we're probably going to see a lot more of him voting. I really hope
he breaks
that
like
he
some
votes
sort of record.
Every single person in the game.
That would be hilarious, because I just want to see this indecisiveness on display, and also his kind of protection over Say.
Right. It feels like weirdly similar to like Genevieve and Rome in the last season. This episode, because it's our last, we're not going to do our letter grades this time, but instead we want to kind of talk about the future and like our predictions.
Okay, so for my ranking, I based mine off of what I think the placements are going to be, not necessarily how likely they are to win the game, but where I think the season's going to pan out.
And for me, I decided to put my rankings in how likely I think they are to win the game.
All right, so who do you have? Well, we know who's in 14th place. Bianca just went. Who do you have as the next booth in 13th place?
So I could see them going a little further. I just don't think they have any chance of winning, and that's Charity.
Oh my gosh, me too. I said Charity for 13th place as well. She gave me big mergatory boot, and it's like Eva finds her fake. David doesn't like her. Most of Siva didn't like her. I think she just doesn't have the numbers to stay.
And additionally, like, there's a good chance we could see Vula and Loggy kind of link up at the merge, because the Siva tribe from the original starting tribe still has all their members. Charity just doesn't seem like super well integrated at all, and they keep just like playing up that they want her out, they want to like target her, and you know, I don't see her making it very far.
I don't know what the thought was behind my 12th pick. I must have been, you know, rushing to do this. I put Joe.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I put Joe just because I think I could see, like, from what we've seen of him, it's so overwhelmingly positive and not, like, any nuance to him. I think he's got to be, like, some sort of, like, you know, in the hero's journey, he's the mentor that dies.
That's a really good point.
Specifically for Eva, Joe going out this early. He's kind of like that Saul figure in the cast. He's so lovable. People are going to be like, we can't sit next to him in the end. And he's super physical. We need to get him out when we can. So who'd you have at 12?
At 12, I had Chrissy. Okay. I think Chrissy, we just didn't see, like, we haven't seen very much of her. And this episode was very good for her. I just wish we had seen the interaction between her and Cedric before Tribal so that we could like get her thought process on it. I feel like we're not seeing enough of her or like knowing where she's at in the game to understand her capabilities.
I agree with you 100%. I actually have her at the next spot at 11.
Okay.
We don't see much of her, you know, strategic game, and, you know, we see maybe more of her like social side.
Yeah, I think we've had 2-0 confessional episodes, which hasn't happened in a while. At 11, I had Star. It's been really fluctuating because for a little bit she was kind of on the uptick, but at the same time, the two people she bonded with so closely are the two people who got out in the tribe swap. Star did end up getting her idol and she gave it to Eva. Really good move for Star because everyone knows about Star's idol.
So now that lowers her threat level, and even though she's closer with Eva now, it pushes the kind of idol aura onto her.
But aside from her new dynamic with Eva, which is like rocky at best because they were so like against each other beforehand, we haven't seen any Star storylines that have like, you know, flourished.
I had her very close. I had her at 9th place. So, yeah, I also don't think she will make it too far. Like, I think her saving grace could be her physicality. Speaking of immunity challenges, I had David at 10th.
Okay.
Interesting. I think he could definitely protect himself with some clutch immunity wins, but I think once people start to realize just how strong he is, they're going to be like, we can't have that.
But I do feel like David has a lot of upside just because, like, you see him as a challenge competitor, but once they get to know him, I feel like his strategy of like being more than just that does seem to hold up. In my 10, I had Cedric. I feel like his strategy is all over the place. They're like having a really difficult time really explaining to us what's going on with his game. Like him voting Say so many times and then switching to Justin at the last minute, and then him switching at the last minute to vote out Bianca. I feel like it's going to be difficult for him to articulate his game. Otherwise, they would have had a lot easier of a time like explaining it to the audience.
My 9th place, as I said, was Star. Who'd you have for 9?
In 9th, I had Mitch. He's been like fluctuating where I think he can have a really good episode or he could have a really quiet episode. His closest allies are like right now Chrissy and Charity. And I think both of them are like, they're both very like either negative or not even shown on screen.
Yeah. Next up for 8th place, I had Say. One thing about her, she's going to get content. She's definitely not a zero confessional player. She's going to get a confessional every time she's on screen. She's going to take up a lot of the discourse on Twitter after her episode. I just don't think she has what it takes to win, especially when it comes to like a jury vote aspect. I think her social game rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah. I really didn't know where to place her because she could get like 2nd place, or she could get like first merge. Like I could see her being in the Rome position where like she's too chaotic and they just decide to vote her out at the merge.
For sure.
But in my 8th place, I have Kyle. I think Kyle has done like exceptionally well up to this point, but I don't know like how likely he is to win, because I feel like I would see Camilla being more likely to take the win over him. A lot of the content is like Kyle being kind of like the heavy lifter of the duo, where Camilla is like the strategic, like immediately comes up with the smart plans, like doing everything that she needs to do.
Almost and then, like she's the Uzma and he's the Kronk.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's still very strategically strong.
Speaking of Kyle, I had him at 7th. I think he's going to go in a position where, you know, people realize how close he and Camilla really are. Like, maybe they'll start having a hard time keeping that secret.
My next pick at 7, I put Shaheen. I think earlier in the season, I would have had him much higher. But Shaheen has just been, like, kind of on the downturn, especially since the tribe swap, where we're like, we haven't seen too much of him in general, and we get a lot of good content for him. But he also is given a lot of the blame for, like, the stuff that is bad for him. Like, you know,
he didn't look well enough in the bag.
Right. Whereas, like, Joe or like, Thomas, we didn't see too much, like, negative in comparison.
It was just like well.
Yeah.
At 6th place, we have somebody we already talked about, Mitch. I think, you know, PE coach, once again, he can win some immunities. I think the only person he'll be really close with toward the end is maybe Cedric, if they both make it there. But I think he's just not everybody's pick to take to the end.
Right. I definitely agree. I think Mitch could go far. I just could see him being kind of like the loner. Like, if you need an extra vote, you know, you go to Mitch. He's not like involved in anything. He just wants to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
In my sixth slot, I had Eva. Eva has had a big part in the season. She's very out in the open now, and it's been, like, difficult for her. So I could see her, like, really excelling or having a bad moment and, like, fumbling, getting overwhelmed.
In my fifth place, I put Eva. She screams endgame threat to me. She screams jury winning potential. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are going to get wise up to that, and they're going to take her out before it's too late. For fourth place, our fire-losing icon queen, I put Mary. We lose a lot of icons in the fire-making challenge. We just lost Liz. We just lost Teeny. And I think Mary has that kind of thing where it's like, oh, when she loses, it's going to crush everybody. But I just think it's going to happen. I don't think we see Mary in front of Final Tribal Council. And I mean, we did see, I think this was in the premiere, Mary said something about, who even cares about fire? That could be some foreshadowing that, you know, she was a little too cocky about the whole fire thing and gets taken out by it.
I had in my fourth slot, David. I could see, like, they've set up a lot of content for him, negative and positive, where I could really see him excelling. And he's not super, like, strategic in the game. He doesn't know the game as well as most of the people on the cast. But, like, everyone loves him. He's strong. He's physical. Like, you know, the kind of, like, Fabio kind of win.
Yeah.
So, in my number three slot, I did have Mary. You know, Mary is a great player. Like, she's been playing the underdog for a while. And we would have gotten a chance to see her playing from the top in the swap, but we didn't get that. So now we don't know where she's going. I could see her excelling, or I could see her forced to play on the bottom again. And ultimately, I think she has, like, the energy of, like, a third place, like, finalist. I could see her getting, like, overshadowed. That does kind of seem like a bit of her vibe.
For me, third place, like I said, Cedric, I think, is a great goat you can bring to the end. Nobody's going to really respect his game unless he does something crazy in the merge. I just think that he doesn't have that potential to win, but I think he has the potential to flop a Final Tribal Council question, period.
Definitely. For my number two pick, I, very different from you, have Joe. I really think, like, Joe, I feel like he's been set up so well where, like, they shun him from the bad moments. And it could just be because he's that mentor that falls on his sword. But instead, I feel like if Joe makes the Final Tribal, he wins. Even if he, like, I think he is going to have a very good resume. But I also think, like, he could win just without it. He's that likable. He has that much of a story. Like, he's doing it for his sister.
No, I totally get that. For second place, it was really hard. My first and second place are getting changed in my mind every second. Second place, I settled on Shaheen. I think that he's playing, you know, maybe not the best game, not the greatest game that he can. I think he's a great player in terms of potential, and he's just getting unlucky and maybe making some unforced errors. I think he could deliver a great Final Tribal Council performance. I could see him getting, you know, a kind of Charlie or Austin position, losing in a 3-5. Because I think my number one pick just has that star potential, and that is Camilla.
Yeah. Camilla was my number one as well.
Yep.
I can really see her, you know, rising above the tribal dynamics and coming into her own, like, really in that, like, I guess an Erica vibe, but at the same time, a lot more, like, controlling the game from the start without people realizing. I love Camilla. I want another Canadian winner.
Exactly. Like, we're due. We haven't had one in a few years, and I just like the sound of Camilla, winner of Survivor 48. It just Absolutely. Has a nice ring to it.
Those were our rankings. We're very sad that we're going to have to end it here for Spirit Live, but we are very fortunate that we got this chance.
We're happy that we got to out yap as much as we did, and we hope that you enjoyed listening to us yap.
If we come back next year, we'll talk about how wrong our predictions were, how absurdly wrong we were the whole season.
And we're probably going to get mad at snubs on the Survivor 50 cast.
Thank you all for listening through the whole season. We really appreciate it, and we'll maybe see you again.
All right, bye, folks.
Bye.